Washing, dishes, vacuuming, household chores never end. Even for me, Albert Einstein. But you know what? I leave it all till later, because I've got a smart meter. And right now, I'm part of a scheme where I get rewarded for changing when I use my energy. More than 1 million others took part last winter using less energy at peak times. Good, eh?
Get ready to start earning rewards. Search Get a Smart Meter today. Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes available to selected customers.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. I got Sunta here.
Hi.
Hi, Sunta. I got Gav here.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gav.
Hi.
We got little Si here.
Hello.
Hi, Si. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Great.
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 And the most important thing is we've got you here downloading another great podcast. Right, Suds?
Right, Johnny.
Right, Gav?
Every time.
Right, little Si?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what's on this week, you're asking me? Well, I'll tells you. First up, your show hero bites off more than he can chew with hilarious consequences. Next up, Germans are officially more miserable than us. I will tell you why. And finally, the woodman has the old Yorkshire newsman introducing a Darwinian freak of nature into the depths of his heroic little slot. Sounds painful. Enjoy.
Radio X.
It's Monday, December the 11th, the day after Chelsea. Clearly forgot the other team's also trying to win. No, but it's like they sort of think everyone will... They won't be that good. They won't be trying, though. Like, hopefully they won't be... Their policy seems to be, hopefully they won't be trying that hard.
Hopefully this is easy today.
Yeah, no, hopefully we've bought enough players. It'll be fine. They won't really try against us. Anyway, so miserable from that point of view, but what a great Sunday I had.
Why?
My Sunday filled, Gav, with new porpoise.
Why?
Because... last year...
Yeah.
At a charity auction... A mate of mine, yeah, who I told you about, Scots Alex.
Yes.
I've sat next to a football before because he used to be a friend of Sean Locke, so Sean used to give him his tickets sometimes.
Right.
And I sit next to Sean Locke.
Yeah, yeah.
And, God rest him, and his son is married to Vanessa's best mate.
That's such a weird coincidence.
Right, right. So, yeah, so really I see a lot, I see quite a bit of him these days. And it turns out Milton's favourite person is his granddaughter. Yeah,
it's bizarre.
So I've been having a laugh with the football for a few years. You know, he's the senior down at the bridge. But anyway, he's all those guys, Glaswegian. He's actually a Rangers fan. Mm. Anyway, he bought at auction a trip to London Zoo to watch the feeding of the penguins first thing in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I actually got an early night.
Well, you're not going to turn a penguin down.
No, I was really
no
excited.
Kind of penguin experience would you ever be able to turn down.
I could barely sleep.
I bet.
I was so excited.
I bet. Were you
Vanessa
Googling
like,
penguin?
You're more excited than Milton.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's not dinosaurs. Milton likes dinosaurs. Although when he actually saw, what's that huge lizard?
A monitor lizard?
No, like a killer one from Indonesia. What's it called?
An iguana?
No, it's...
A Komodo dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're really big.
God, on to that in a second.
Yeah, yeah. Those things have killed.
No, this one in the zoo is huge. Anyway, so we've gone to London Zoo, all of us. Mm. And we've met by the gates, 9 a.m, Sunday. It opens in an hour for your 1 hour private tour that he bought at a charity auction for us all. Gav.
Yes.
I don't know how much it actually costs to buy.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Is it the most worth it thing ever, really?
It is the best.
Why?
Because you go and see the penguins. Mm. They give you the special gloves so you can then toss the fish in. Yeah.
Right.
And in the new penguin tank at London Zoo.
Yeah.
The penguinarium.
Yeah.
It's all see-through so you can see them underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Penguins are every bit as good as I always suspected they are. They're showmen.
As rubbish as they are on land... is as amazing as they are underwater.
Okay,
they are so brilliant.
You dangle your fish in there.
Yeah,
they're mad. They really want to feed. They don't smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like the ones in South Africa that you go to at the border beach, wherever it's called.
Yeah,
it's
really
bent. Not like the seal, but the ones at the penguins at Simonstown, they do smell a bit. Yeah. Not as bad as the seal a bit further down, but anyway. dangled the fish over. These penguins are going crazy. And now I'm starting to get, so I'm like sort of shoving the kids away from the fish because I don't want them to just chuck armfuls. I really want to enjoy it.
You want to go, yeah.
No, suddenly it's taken on a whole new meaning. Yeah. I'm starting to suddenly, it's brought out a bad side of me.
Right, you became dad. You became, children.
I'm getting reminded by Vanessa, Johnny, they're not here. For, it's not
for you.
It's a treat for you. And I'm looking at her like, you don't know that.
You don't know.
No, but I nearly shot. Sure. Literally, I was nearly quite aggressive because I was really enjoying it. I got completely in the penguins.
Did you nearly grab the bucket of fish and shout mine?
Yes.
Did you?
I wanted to, yeah. I really did. It's such fun. It's crazy. We had a brilliant woman took us round. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was just light enough that she knew about the few facts and figures.
Yeah.
Wasn't hurling it at you. Just so you just
not
gently
lectures.
Drinking
yeah,
a bit
yeah.
of knowledge, cup of coffee.
Beautiful.
Round I went, boom.
Mm.
But these penguins, once you fed them, they go crazy.
Do they?
They do a thing called porpoising.
Right.
Where they go round like dolphin.
Yeah.
And they just swim really fast.
Oh,
like they're flying.
Right, like a dog-fighting fighter jet. Yes.
Yes, yes it
they
is
really
like
a, do.
Yeah, they're like fighter jets.
Yeah, they really are. They're
and
amazing.
They go in and out the water, just threading through and flying and in and out. And it's just crazy. And you just stand there and then you see them going underwater. I'm not kidding, Gav. I felt like crying because they were trying so hard to give us a show.
Did you jump in?
No, I didn't jump in. But I genuinely, Milton just couldn't believe it.
Couldn't he?
He was just staring there, just dribble.
Because normally he's not interested unless it's a dinosaur.
No, he's really not.
Wow.
He looked at it and he's... I mean, he wasn't as interested as me, but it was moving, it was intense.
Wow.
They gave it 110%.
I bet they did.
They were a really useful counterpoint. I thought, this is where Pochettino should bring in the Chelsea squad. No, he should do. He should bring them up here and show what Pengs will do for literally a potty.
They're playing for the shirt, those penguins.
They really are.
Yeah,
and that was just for a potty full of fish.
Right. Wow.
You know.
Wow.
But in terms of motivation, those penguins are unparalleled.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang. Radio X.
Loads of people texting and saying, John, I've got nothing to talk about tonight. Please, for God's sake, give us some icebreakers
as we
go into the Christmas season.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here you go. First up, German, if you're feeling glum, the Germans now, you feel they've just been voted, new research says, and this shouldn't give too many of you schadenfreude, but they've dropped to the bottom of the EU's happiness rankings.
Aww. Have they?
Yeah, with only Bulgarians less happy.
Oh really?
Wow. Well, some Bulgarians are happy because a lot of old arms factories have opened up that had shut down after the Cold War.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just making old ammo and old AK-47s.
And they're just going again. Yeah,
and they're going again to supply
this war.
So there's a bit of prosperity there.
Sure.
It's probably the guilt of that.
Mm. So it's Germany.
And also, they can probably only get their gifts at the moment from Russia.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which can't be, Russian, the old Russian gift shop.
Does it say why Germans, or has it speculated on why they've
sent them down a bit?
The numbers are consistent with a host of surveys in Germany that pointed to a darkening of the general mood. This is always sad for us because, of course, it will mean the rise of the right.
Of course,
like, what people turn to because they're sure as hell not going to turn to communism because most of East Europe hates the communists because of what they did after the war. So there's only one way they're ever going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And also right-wing stuff in the blink, it seems to just make sense to populists.
The populist stuff really
works.
Well,
it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look, we've got this many people unemployed and this many immigrants. I'm no one to do maths, but I can... because our lot don't actually want to work. It's your problem there.
Yeah.
And, but things like that that just sort of seem simple to the Farageans.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, not that he's far right. So we're dealing with a lot of talk. But do you know what I think it is as well?
What?
Well, because Germany, which I think is a great country and I love going there.
Because
they're progressive and they look forward. Because...
Yeah.
They've looked back and they've had to face their shame and they've had to be honest with themselves. And let's face it, it doesn't end.
Mm.
All they must hear about is being on the losing. Must be like being sort of Southgate every day. And the TV's just analysing that penalty rather than what he's done at England.
It's a sort of a Tottenham thing in a way.
Yes. Yes. But it's just like all the time going, well, they missed this penalty.
Yeah.
Of course they don't. They score them.
Yeah.
But all the time, it's about the war. All the time. And after a while, you know what? You're making people feel guilty.
Mm.
You make anyone feel guilty. We know the cycle. Guilt leads to resentment, means to hate. And after a while, the young generation, if we're not careful, they'll just say, no, we're not going to take responsibility for them. We're proud to be German. And then,
watch out, yeah.
So let's be beastly. In the words of Noel Coward, don't let's be beastly to the Germans. It's a great country. Unlike And we face a bit of our guilt from sort of colonialist times and Victorian times. Russia hasn't faced any, which is a real problem there.
Yeah.
America hasn't really faced any.
Not really,
you have in a sort of democratic way and through sort of documentaries and more liberal thinking. You know, liberals kind of force you to face your imperious past.
Yeah.
But nothing like the Germans have had to.
No.
And I think, I don't know if any of you, many of you have been to Germany, but I've had so many great weekends at so many German cities. How many British cities could you honestly go to for a weekend and have a cracking time and want for nothing more than something that's in that city?
Yeah.
Beautiful architecture, just great places to visit. The cities feel safe, they feel clean. It's a cracking country.
Johnny, the lenses, the microphones.
Yes.
Forget about it.
And do you know something, Gav? I only buy stuff from German eBay.
Absolutely.
With my electricals. Do you know what? You get it in the box, new.
Oh, yeah.
You sort of think, hang on a second, there's a receipt here from 1958.
That's right. The owner would be embarrassed not to have
so
it
So that's
all.
My first bit of conversation. Second bit, next year, weather forecast, it's going to be the hottest on record.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're saying already. Let's keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Because I can't see how they can call that already, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And lastly, Legion d'honneur for veteran aged 100 of a D-Day operation.
Yeah.
David Morgan arrived at Millwall Football Club yesterday. He was expecting nothing more than a jolly Christmas party with some of his fellow Second World veterans. He's 100, but he received the Legion d'honneur, which is one of France's highest medals.
Yeah.
For taking part in D-Day.
Mm.
Morgan landed. This is the bit I was just a little bit. He said in his speech, he says, "This is the proudest moment of my life. I've been wanting this for a long time, and great friends have been helping me to get it."
Hmm.
Hmm.
Someone said he's like he was bucking for promotion. I'm just saying. I've never
lobbying for.
I've been
a medal.
Lobbying for myself to get a medal. I didn't know, that just took a little bit of sheen off it for me.
Yeah.
This is great. You know how hard I fought to get this today.
Yeah.
You know, I've been pestering the French.
A lot of people to thank.
Yeah,
for this.
Right,
30
I've
years
like to
of
thank
badgering.
Everyone, plus, I've been writing under lots of pseudonyms. But then he also says he landed on Utah Beach 5 days after D-Day.
That's not the same day, is it?
No, it was virtually liberated by then. It was hotels and stuff. Sorry to jump in mid-podcast, but it's time to thank this episode's partner, CyberAware, from the National Cyber Security Centre. Every year, Black Friday shoppers fall victim to online scams. Last year was no different. Shoppers lost over £10 million to cyber criminals between November 2022 and January 2023. Because of that, I want to remind shoppers that scams are increasing in sophistication, so it's even more important to have the basics in place when it comes to email security. That includes switching on two-step verification and also having a strong password made up of three random words. Having three random words makes your password easy to remember and harder to hack. Your email password should be strong and different from all your other passwords. Turning on two-step verification on your main email account gives you double the protection. So even if cyber criminals have your password, they can't access your email. It works by asking for more information to prove your identity, like getting a code sent to your phone when you sign in using a new device or change settings such as your password. Search CyberAware from the National Cyber Security Centre to find out more.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
This is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Thank you so much for joining us. Right. Heritage news.
Go on.
You know, once a week I love to visit three of the big stories in the world of archaeology. And
of course,
we've been doing that since we began.
Sure.
But those stories have always found their home at 4:28. Right here on the 4 till 7.
Of course, everyone knows that.
I say, if you have got stories about artifacts, archaeology,
sure,
or anything like that, they'll always find a home. 4:28, right here.
Nice.
First up, Stonehenge faces being stripped of its UNESCO World Heritage status.
Really?
Yeah, if plans for the tunnel go ahead.
Right.
The UN have said, no, that's it then.
Okay.
I mean, the UN increasingly is starting to see that they've had the wool pulled over their eyes with Stonehenge. They realise it's...
Do you think they see this as a get out?
Well, they know it's a Victorian folly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And increasingly, the people at the UN are probably saying, hang on a second, Actually, there is no mention of it in history at all. Mm. Hang on a second. Why doesn't Shakespeare mention it? Hang on. Why does no one mention it at all, apart from that liar, Sir Geoffrey of Monmouth, who claims they were flown there by Merlin, which isn't really enough for us to go on.
Well, and also the strongest theory was the stone was rolled there from Wales, and it turns out last week, I'm sure I read a story, the stone isn't from Wales.
It's not from, well, no, some of it's from Preseli.
Oh, right, yeah.
But then again, they claim that Elvis is from there as well, and that's where the word Presley comes from,
sure,
so who
knows? Yeah.
I like the fact, I prefer the theory that it's Elvis Presley!
Do you think it's more likely that Elvis built Stonehenge than that Stonehenge is ancient?
Kev, stop cheese-salading me. I think it's more likely that everyone just wants Stonehenge just to go away a bit.
Mm.
It's put there, obviously, because we have got no heritage in this country. We have got nothing that goes back more than 1,000 years.
Right.
Before that, it's just Roman.
Mm.
After Romans leave in about 410, you've got nothing.
Nothing else.
Nothing at all, really, till William the Conqueror, because we're just savages.
Sure,
so we've got nothing here at all. The next thing you get, Tower of London, 1066, right, which actually finished off by William's son, not even William anyway. So William Roofer sort of did the building of that, really.
Sorry, William the Roofer, did
William
you say?
William the Roofer, his son was in the roof.
He finished off the roof.
Well,
the tower was finished.
Anyway, the point is, Gav, is it's embarrassing, because they realise the English have done them.
Right.
We had to have something.
Old,
when we were conquering the world in Victorian times, where we could go, no, but look, we're the ancient people, rather than looking like also runs, because he was looking like the British Museum. It's just all nicked.
Yeah.
And people after a while start thinking, hang on a second. Yeah. Well, how old's the British stuff? They're going, what do you mean? We've got
look at the Egyptians.
We've got pots. Look, here's a Saxon spear. No, look, a helmet that's old. No, look at this.
It's some cloth.
Bronze. And what's this? Bronze remains from a fire. What's this? Why an Iron Age hearth? What's this? Oh, why, it's a cornstone that they'd have used near a long barrow to make bread.
Sure. And that was it.
Gosh, they must have been really civilised in Britain.
Sure.
So unfortunately, we've got to stick with Stonehenge.
Got to go far and wide.
Otherwise,
we're
going to look like a nation of savages. British Museum admits most stolen artefacts aren't going to be recoverable.
Mm.
Right.
And that's because they can't exactly go into a pub and say, anyone comes in here offering you,
you let
spears.
Know,
anyone comes in here with any moody Egyptian gear, you tell me, because the old Bill will really want to smell this. I'm getting a lot of flack from above.
Come and see Steve at the museum.
Has anyone, can I just ask you something, one eye? Seriously, Swift. Swifty, has anyone offered you anything from Macedonia within the last couple of weeks? Because they're looking for a couple of little statuettes. Anyone offers you any Macedonian statuettes, give us a call, because I'm getting loads of flat for the old bill. And lastly, loads of national treasures have been nominated, and this is lovely. Chain Home Radar Station in Northumberland is now going to be a National Heritage Site, which is lovely.
Mm.
The Railway Tavern in Darlington is going to be a National Heritage Site. So is the Barkway Carriage Wash in Hertfordshire, and also from Cornwall, a tunnel.
What?
Ooh. Yeah, an ancient
good
tunnel.
God.
And they've done that purely because the Cornish just feel left out.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what have we done? They go, well, you dug a hole. Well done, the Cornish. Well done. Congratulations. And also, while everyone was building these rather beautiful things around Britain, well done to the Cornish for digging a lovely hole.
Radio X.
Sorry, we should have been focusing on what I was going to talk to you about in this item here, but Gaff has now got me sidetracked with making up stupid names for 70s thriller books. Like, it has to be, now our new rule...
Well, it's a place, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a bit like Mexican handbags.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's a Mexican handbag, it's a freestyle where it's just... You've just got... It's like the Iger sanction.
Yes.
The Odessa file.
The Ipcris file.
The Ipcris file. You just got a place name and then something that just sounds hard hitting afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Mexican handbags.
Yeah, you could say like the Zurich connection.
Yes.
Or that's a 70s spy novel straight away.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Volgograd.
Right.
Convention.
There you go. Yeah. Definitely.
The Venice investigation.
Not East Europe or Alpine.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got to have an Alp. Is essential.
It's really, it's absolutely
then you can have a cable car scene.
Yes, yeah.
Vienna.
No, I'm not even taking Vienna. You're not wandering too far. Budapest is acceptable.
Okay.
The Budapest Agreement.
The Turin Papers, for example.
No,
Northern Italy, there's Alps up there.
Yeah, Northern Italy, I'm sort of taking it. I'd rather it was a little bit more Rusk.
Okay.
A little bit more. No, I'd like to go a little bit more.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, I was trying to sort of pull you that way. Anyway, play along, give us a little synopsis.
Yeah.
Right, guys, the reason this is actually not bad territory to take us into, because I was just reading the front page of the Times today.
Yeah.
And it says, ex-MI6 chief is among hundreds targeted by the Russians.
Mm. Right. I mean, isn't that always the case?
Okay, yeah. God.
What a revelation.
God, sorry.
I mean, that's literally the game.
God. Well, why don't they go for a legitimate target?
Yeah.
So go on MI6.
What brought them to MI6?
I just hope no one was surprised. You know what I mean? I mean, people sort of say one of the, to explain the word oxymoron, people do say British intelligence. But I think that's just very good gaslighting for the lads, because they're pretty good, aren't they?
Yes.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
I thought they're pretty good at. Not like the CIA. The CIA have got this thing where literally, if anything happens, like JFK or over the years or anything at all, they managed to gaslight people like they were actually involved.
Right, which is a double bluff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. If anything actually happens on their watch, you know, apparently it was the CIA.
Yeah, they'll put that out just to muddy the waters.
Yeah, they even do it in films. Like, in a lot of films, they're the ultimate bad guys.
Yeah. Always,
But it's up to the little guy still has the power
to
come back and overcome them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only, you know something, you sit in this office all day at the Pentagon, you sometimes lose sight of what we're really here for.
Yeah.
We're really fighting.
Yeah, who we're really fighting.
It's true.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but it's basically
PR, isn't it?
Yeah, it's genius.
It's genius,
it makes you people feel so safe, doesn't it?
Yeah, throws you off the scent.
The fact that even, you know, even if there's some atrocity happens, you know, we knew about it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they start then actually blaming themselves for it.
Right.
Rather than sort of saying, you know, he was under surveillance 6 years ago for a long time as well. They had him on their files. It's like the only way something can happen is if they make an oversight. No one can actually outsmart them.
Right.
Genius. Anyway, a former MI6 chief was among hundreds of officials, civil servants and MPs targeted in a Russian hacking operation. But get this, just to give it a little bit of what we're looking for in our novel, which might be called, someone's put the Surbiton printout. No.
The Austrian Assembly.
That's very good, yes.
Interesting, yeah.
The Prague Project.
That's perfect,
really good.
Yeah.
The Krakow Constipation.
No.
Krakow's very good, though, for it.
Yeah.
So what I love about this, and this is what makes the Russians, this is what makes them tops at being evil.
Yeah,
right?
Go on. Yeah.
Is it was masterminded by a bodybuilder.
Was it?
Yes. It was masterminded by a bodybuilder.
What, like Ivan Drago?
What, it's a side hustle?
But he's saying, but also masterminded. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's what they do,
But masterminded, you know.
It's
a bit Bond villain, isn't it?
Really it
really
is,
you know.
The Russian Federal Security Service, the FSB, they're accused of orchestrating the operation for 8 years. Well, I'd have hoped since the Cold War.
That's literally their job.
You know,
if I've
got any faith at all in Rusk in Moscow, they're at it all the time.
Mm.
Especially for. But look, this idea that. Is that what they've been doing? They've gone for the MI6 chief.
You're kidding.
That is spies. That is low. That is
literally why MI6 exists.
Right.
Why the FSB exists.
But he was stunned, was he?
Twas the hour before lunchtime, and with a great rumble, you noticed a stirring deep down in your tumble. Twas a hunger one could not easily satisfy, till appeared Subway's VI Brie to capture your eye. On caramelised onion, on rasher of bacon, on gooey brie cheese that you'd love to partake in, then toast it all up in a bun, nice and tight. Happy lunching to all, and to all a good bite.
Try the limited edition hot and cheesy VI Brie sub melt from the Subway series menu.
Radio
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
And so to your thriller novels.
These are awesome.
Thank you so much. I don't know if any of the world's great 70s. I don't know if Wilbur Smith's alive or listening.
Yeah.
Or Len Dayton or
Len Dayton,
all the gang.
Yeah.
Ludlam. Who's got the right name, actually.
Definitely. Picture the cover of the novel. It's got a pair of binoculars.
Sunglasses.
Maybe a silken scarf.
Sunglasses with beads of
water
on them.
Yeah, yeah.
A thing of gold.
Definitely. Maybe a feather. Maybe a spent bullet shell.
Yeah.
Something like that.
A spent case, dog tags.
Definitely.
Dog tags.
Yes. A beautiful woman.
A ticket.
A ticket, yes, for an overland train in Switzerland.
A bar of gold with a swastika on it.
Yeah,
or an eagle.
Definitely. Nazi gold every time. Literally can't fail.
Absolutely right. Hawaiian shirt. out somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, I know, deep sea sort of fishing boat in the back.
Yes, yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Or obviously an Alp. Or obviously an Alp.
Yeah, yeah, but essentially, it's the holiday that you sort of, you know,
you wish you had.
You know, you're lying there the around the pool, you're thinking, I saw this German by the bar before I know it, I was involved in it.
We got talking.
I couldn't help overhearing about some gold. Literally. Right, we got the Helsinki Protocol.
Beautiful
that's
work.
That's really strong.
That's very strong.
One of the songs you've had there. It's got Helsinki.
Great use of protocol.
Which is great.
Helsinki's very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, it already sounds like the protocol. Yeah. We don't know what it is, but we're going to find out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Also, it gives you that time just to lie.
Sure.
There is a protocol amongst the security before it starts.
That's right.
Yes.
That they may not touch each other's families.
That's right, yes.
The families remain sacred.
One man went against
occasionally,
them.
This protocol is broken. And when they do, they call for...
Scene opens.
No, I've got a mate in South Africa. I know when I start writing these, what my hero is going to be called.
Yeah.
It's his name.
Oh, yeah.
Get this. You ready?
Go on.
I know someone in Cape Town.
Yeah.
His name's Mark Fuel.
Fuel.
Yeah, spelled P-F.
E-W-E-L-L.
No, E-U-L.
Right.
Amazing.
Fuel. Yes, Mark Fuel. Great name, isn't it?
Great.
Anyway, he could be in. That could be the latest Mark Fuel
Fantastic.
Novel.
Fantastic.
Or Matt Fuel.
We've also got the Montenegro Affair, the Svalbard Scrutiny.
Montenegro Affair's very good.
That's nice, yeah.
The Montenegro Affair, that's one of those things that lies on the cusp and both sides have to disavow it.
That's right,
again,
yes,
like the Helsinki Protocol.
Definitely.
You're in a sort of diplomatic no man's land.
Yeah, it can't be admitted what the activity is.
No, they're not going to admit it because to admit that would be to admit that.
That's right, and it's a black op for that reason.
So once again, they call for Mark Fuel.
the Gothenburg Memorandum.
Just clapping it. That's just absolutely fantastic. That's something that someone reads on the top of a pile of papers or is left in a hotel room. Partial document.
Yes.
So you only see the first bit of his first name.
Yeah.
Vladdy. Generally. And again, and he's disappeared.
On that luxury train.
That's all that's left behind. The staff don't know where he's gone. here's a good one. What have you seen that you like there?
The Innsbruck encounter is
the Innsbruck
very strong. Innsbruck is a great
Innsbruck
one to choose.
Innsbruck is a really good choice. Very, very, very.
Beautiful work.
Innsbruck. It's, because I tell you why it's good as well, because it involves sticking umlauts
it
on
does,
covers
yeah,
as well.
And double letters. And
double
things,
letters.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's got Gluck in there, which is quite like the Innsbruck encounter. That's going through an airport. Security services operative or former operative of somewhere say notices someone he thought he'd killed.
That's how it opens.
Literally going through an airport.
Yeah. Robert Shaw's in that movie without question.
Yes.
Yeah. With the blonde Robert Shaw. Remember when he dyed his hair
but
blonde?
He thought he was. He swears it's like the postman of Warsaw or something horrendous. Yeah. You know. Deb. The roofer of Baghdad. And it's a guy who's... I don't know what it is quite. Someone he recognised anyway. The Tbilisi Assembly, again.
Very good.
Very, very good. Mm. That's a meeting of one of those really shady gangs. Mm. That, like international things. Like Smersh.
Yeah, yeah. But they've got shipping companies and stuff.
But they've got Wynn.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Wynn. They're meeting in Tbilisi.
Yes.
The Tbilisi
we want you
Assembly.
To infiltrate. Luckily, and it means that they have to sort of... Literally, he's got to replace someone on the plane.
Right, and then join the assembly
get
as
the body
them.
Downstairs, he's got on board, but he's going to essentially become that guy.
Yeah, yes. Or just do what James Bond does and just go to it and say, hi, I'm James Bond.
Bond, what the hell? Yeah, right. Exactly right.
I'm at the assembly today.
No, the name's Bond, James Bond.
Yeah.
I'm here for Universal Exports. Aren't you that spy?
I've heard of you.
So I don't believe the hype.
We're not that good.
But this is a beaut. The Minsk agenda.
Oh, that's
and
strong.
And so's the Tallinn conundrum.
Anything involving Tallinn.
Yes. The Salzburg ring, the Minsk facsimile, the Riga reconnaissance, the Nagano dilemma. That's really good.
Very good.
That's when, probably when you've got to even, yes, you'll wipe out your enemy, but some of your own will be in there, friendlies.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the dilemma.
That's the dilemma.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
And you face that as your finger hovers over the button. The Spitsberg conundrum again.
The Lillehammer convention
is very good.
Is good, as is the Leipzig enigma.
As is, this is really good. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
And we're going to take a break after this because this is going to do it.
Yeah.
Apart from the Lucerne parenthesis, which is really good. Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
Yeah.
And we had the Riga resolution. Again, fantastic. The Riga incident. Riga's always good. Riga's like wild.
It's great, yeah.
Get this, yeah? The ellipsis cipher. Oh, it's staggering. It is staggering.
That's intriguing.
Someone
isn't it?
Finds a cipher, but they don't know what it's for.
That's right.
Yes.
They don't know.
They don't know. It's an explanation of a code.
And they don't even know who ellipsis is.
No, no, but they haven't found what is.
It turns out to be an old shoemaker.
Cipher for
in
what?
Salzburg.
No, a cipher for. Yeah, right. Radio X. I've bitten off more than I can chew, guys.
Why?
Because I'm back on the oysters.
Oh, yes.
After that unfortunate incident
earlier
in the year, which I regaled you with.
Sure.
I'd never felt so ill in my life.
Oh, man.
God, it was awful. So I'm back on the oysters. I figured, you know what? I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going back.
No.
I didn't realise how big they are at this time of year.
You fall off an oyster, you get straight back on it, don't you?
No, you don't. You wait for a while. They're not cars. Oysters aren't cars, Gav.
Horses. Go on, yeah. So you, you
horses,
went and had an oyster.
Cars, motorbikes, you get back on,
Sure.
Oysters, you don't.
You steer clear,
You can, first of all, you consider, you really consider how much you value your life.
Right.
Next, you consider...
What you might be up to the next day,
unpleasant,
for example.
Yeah, anyway, so I've gone for oysters for lunch with an Irish friend who's in town.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone to a very old traditional restaurant, which has got a big oyster menu.
Yeah.
And, I've asked the guy behind the counter, what he's French.
Yeah.
What do you prefer? He goes, these oysters have arrived.
Do you like oysters?
I love them, I like them when you just literally hip them back, one crunch and swallow.
Yeah.
I like to dwell on an oyster.
Because it's a weird texture, right?
It is, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I don't mind it. Anyway, these oysters, it's like an extra, it's like having two tongues.
Oh,
it's like a squash ball in your mouth.
No, the tongue.
It's
enormous. It was so big.
Well, how many chews did it take?
I suddenly realised I've been doing this for, I've been literally eating it for 3 minutes. Normally, my mate said,
which really concentrates you on the texture.
He says, are you still on that first oil? I said, yeah. Which one was that? Because I got a selection. I said it's one of the Ryans.
Yeah, wow.
Because when you go for the, for the Irish ones.
Yeah.
And normally I always go, I never leave Essex with them.
Mm.
Colchester, lovely. West Mercy. Gorgeous oysters. You know, I think the best in the world, much better than any French or anything. Mm. But the trouble is, once you start messing around with Irish oysters or Scottish, then what you're getting is all the nutrients that are in the Gulf Stream or the whatever stream they're in.
Yeah.
So they get bigger and smaller according to that.
Right.
The Irish ones remain quite little because the tide's quite...
Yeah.
Where you're getting oysters, you're getting like four tides a day.
Right.
Gav.
They're massive.
No, just no room for my main course. It was just enormous. And this French guy, this is the annoying thing about asking people about what food you want.
Yeah.
Is you then feel pressured. You go, thanks.
Yeah.
And now
you've got to eat them.
Now
they're
looking at you like, so what, you listen to my advice, you're not going to take that. You sort of feel...
Felt like you had to eat them all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I just feel really unwell on your behalf.
No, it's just really annoying.
You're right, though. It should be a gulp, a bite, and down. It should be like a shot.
I'm just saying, if people ask you...
It should be like a shot.
You'll just swallow them all.
Yeah.
But... Because one of the few things you kill while eating it.
Because
it's alive.
Sure.
That oyster's alive. That's not...
Sure. Yeah.
You know, that's it. That's...
Bit of Tabasco.
Yeah.
Bit of vinegar and shallots. Yeah.
It's hard to say who's enjoying the Tabasco, isn't it? The oyster or me.
Ooh. Grim.
But kill it I did. I just killed...
For 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I just killed 12 living creatures. Death.
'Twas a night in November at your pal's Christmas party when an elf arrives. Oh, with a toffee nut latte.
Hey, everyone. Who wants a Starbucks?
Oh, you look like
Oi, same one for me. Get the group together for Starbucks festive favourites. It's IRL season. At a Starbucks near you. Subject availability while stocks last.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Guys, it's time to play our chart up lines right. Play our charms right.
Yeah, when you're trying to charm someone. Yeah.
Curious about the British flirting game? Experts dove into the world of pickup lines to uncover just how much charm we're packing this festive season. Hail season. They surveyed 3,000 respondents, not co-respondents, ages 18 to 61 across various UK cities to explore pickup lines with the best chance of success. Are you ready, guys?
I am, yeah.
I love this. Okay, here we go.
Spin a coin.
Heads or tails, suds?
Ooh, heads.
Just did it, Gav.
Nice.
Heads, please.
Can I say, while I was killing time before I picked up Chinese from here in Big Sight, I decided to go into the amusement arcade.
Obviously. Oh, yeah.
I couldn't understand how to work the machine. I couldn't.
What? What was the machine?
You had a choice of things.
Really? One machine?
You choose between about 20 things.
Good God.
And then I said, well, I'll play roulette then. And a proper roulette thing came up.
Wow.
You can't just spin the reels. You win the chance to spin the reels. So
it sucks you in.
Oh, yeah. Because there's not enough odds on a roulette wheel.
Yeah, right. Just a chance to spin.
Yes.
Good God.
I said to the guy, no, I want my money back now.
Uh-huh. And how did that go?
Well, I put 20 quid and he gave me £18 back, which I then spotted a fruit machine I could vaguely understand. I just kept pressing this button just again and again. And it took hours just to whittle the money down.
I'm beginning to think they're not honourable.
In the end, I was up like machines. 40 quid.
Wow.
And then I panicked. All right, here we go. Because I thought my Chinese is ready. I want my money back now.
Yeah.
It was very odd. Well, anyway, I walked out there with over £1,000.
Oh, lovely. Good man. Well
done. I didn't at all. Okay.
I think I said heads.
Heads. It is heads.
Right.
Here we go. Do you have a name or can I call you mine?
Right.
Do you think, listen to this, is your name Wi-Fi because I'm feeling a connection? Is that got an overall probability? Is that got a higher overall probability of working? These are the 10 pickup lines most likely to work.
Oh, they're all going to be cool.
Is that more or less likely to work?
Wi-Fi is less likely to
work.
No,
it's more likely to work. Wow. People like it. Because think about it.
When's the last time you chatted a lady up, sons?
Okay.
You don't
is your
know.
Name. Okay, we're on. Is your name Wi-Fi? Because I'm feeling a connection.
Yeah.
But do you think this is more or less likely to work?
Go on.
Is your name Google? Because you've everything I've been searching for. Gav.
Okay, so I think the Google one does better than the Wi-Fi
no,
one.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it? Okay, right.
Since back to you.
Okay.
Is your name Google? Because you got everything I've been searching for. But if a guy wandered up to you and said, is your dad a baker? Because you're a cutie pie. So is that more likely to work with you, though?
With me, less likely, but I'm going to say more.
You're absolutely right. It is more likely to work, but less with you, because you're a rebel and you'll never be any good.
The word's cutie pie.
Okay. Is your dad a baker? Because you're a cutie pie. So I don't get what that's got to do with you. Oh, I guess because he baked you.
You shouldn't really just bring up parents into a chat-up line.
Did you just get out of your dad's oven?
What?
Why? You're hot.
That's not bad. That would do well on this list.
Did you just get out of a sauna? Why? Because you're hot.
I'd be really worried if someone said
okay,
that
do you fancy getting in a sauna?
No, because they're all
why?
Really
stop
hot.
Practicing your own ideas.
I don't know. I don't know, really.
Hang on. So where are we on the...
felt like a good thing to say.
Where are we on the list?
Okay.
With the baker
dad one.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a map?
No.
You just say why? Sons, you got a map?
No, why?
Because I keep getting lost in your eyes.
Oh! That's old school. Higher.
Slower, I'm afraid.
Wow.
Yeah, slower. So, back to you, Gav.
Yeah.
Do you have a map, Gav? Because I keep getting lost in your eyes.
Yeah.
But am I going to have more success with you if I say, if you're a Transformer, you'd be Optimus Fine?
It's funny. I'm going to go with Optimus Fine. That's better.
It is a better line. Yeah, 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 it is. Yeah, definitely.
Optimus Fine.
Okay. So I've got you. I've now called you Optimus Fine.
Yeah.
But if I said, if you're a vegetable, you'd be a cucumber.
A cucumber. I think that does worse than the Optimus Fine.
You're absolutely right. It does a lot worse.
Yeah.
Okay. We're with the cucumber. But if I said to you, oh, Christ. If I said to you, Gav.
Yeah.
Are you a magician?
Why?
Because whenever I look at you, everyone else just disappears.
Oh, my God.
And I mean that, baby. And then I leant in with one hand on the wall.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah. Leant right into you and you could smell I'd been drinking.
I don't like it when you do that. I've had enough of that.
When I look at you, love, everybody else disappears. Do you fancy a fag? Do you want to go out, snip outside for a fag?
He said breathlessly.
Do you want to come outside for a fag? For a fag. Go on, what are you saying, Gav?
That line does worse.
No, it does better.
Oh, does it? Oh, my God.
Not the bit, because I made up the bit about the cigarette.
I just was thinking you actually did start affecting me a bit the way you were saying it.
Yeah. Okay, we're with you, a magician, because whenever I look at you, everyone else disappears.
Okay.
Aside from being sexy, what do you do for a living?
Oh, my goodness.
People really use that, do they?
No, they
cannot
says
use
any
that,
of
surely.
These, really.
Is that above? Are you a magician or below?
Above, higher.
It is above, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, since this is for it, right? We're with, aside from being sexy, what do you do for a living, yeah? Mm. But if I wander up to you and go, hey, Sunt, are you from Tennessee?
No.
Because you're the only 10 I see.
Oh.
Ooh.
And his racy wordplay was successfully
is that going to do it?
Yeah, go on, higher.
It's lower.
Oh.
Gav's king of the chat lines.
Yeah, you are.
Gav, you should listen to Gav more, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to handle it.
Yeah, I'll show you.
There you, Gav, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
I still prefer... Do you want to nip out of a fag? Do you want to nip outside? I've just bought some fags.
Do you want another pint?
I've just scrounged two fags off Les.
I'll meet you outside.
Do you want a cigarette? I haven't got any fags. I just scrounged two off Les.
Oh, you smooth bugger.
X. 'Twas the hour before lunchtime, and with a great rumble, you noticed a stirring deep down in your tumble. 'Twas a hunger one could not easily satisfy, till appeared Subway's VI Brie to capture your eye. On caramelised onion, on rasher of bacon, on gooey brie cheese that you'd love to partake in. Then toast it all up in a bun, nice and tight. Happy lunching to all, and to all a good bite.
Try the limited edition hot and cheesy VI Brie sub melt from the Subway series menu.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Here's Gavin the hero. Every single day of the week, woman furnished with the hero. Today, no exception. Gav, who is your hero today?
The hero today, Johnny, is a man called Brendan Grimshaw.
Brendan Grimshaw.
He basically is a hero because he lived the dream, and I'll explain in a second. He was born in Dewsbury in Yorkshire in 1925. He lived till 2012. He started a journalism career in Batley, at the Batley News, and then later as the youngest editor in England at The Star in Sheffield. That was during the 50s. Then he did about 8 years working at the East African Standard newspaper in Kenya, and after that he was flying home. Back to the UK, and he stopped over in the Seychelles, where he discovered a tropical island called Moyenne.
I know Moyenne.
Off the Mahé Island that caught his imagination. It was completely overgrown.
It is a Mahé Island.
That's right. And it was abandoned by its owners. It was actually owned by a couple, and they had they had lived there a little bit when they were young.
Mike and Mandy Goff?
No. It was a man called Philippe Georges and his wife Vera.
I think I might be thinking of somewhere different.
I think you're thinking of somewhere different.
Because the one I'm thinking of is just, it's just off Cornwall.
Anyway, in 1962, Brendan persuaded this couple to sell him the island, which they agreed to, for £8,000 at the time.
Yeah, this is in keeping with our books.
Wait a second.
On your own island.
Wait a second. So he bought it for £8,000. It's about £180,000 today.
Today's money.
He moved there. He was in his 40s at the time. No one had been on this island for 50 years. It was utterly overgrown. It was so overgrown that they said the coconuts did not touch the ground when they fell off the trees. So with the help of a local...
Oh, I thought you meant because there were savages catching them.
With the help of a local fisherman, a man called René Lafortin, he spent 39 years fixing up this island by himself with René.
How big is it, Gav?
It's tiny. It's 24 acres. It's a third of a kilometre wide and about a fourth of a kilometre... Sorry, yeah, 0.4 of a kilometre.
I hope that's giving you some idea of scale there, because it was lacking, wasn't
it? To walk round the whole coast is 1 mile. Just really nice if you haven't got a car.
Oh, that's cool. Is it exactly a mile? Because if so, that's handy for
runners. It's 1.06 miles.
That's great, isn't it? For like Seb Coe to retire.
Absolutely right. So anyway, over those 39 years, they planted 16,000 trees between them. They created 5 kilometres of pathways, and they introduced almost extinct giant tortoises, which are still there now, nearly 100 of them living on this island.
Wow!
By the time he was in his 80s, he lived till he was 87, having passed away in 2012, he'd attracted 2,000 new bird species to the island, and it now contains two-thirds of Seychelles' fauna. Of all the fauna in the Seychelles, it now welcomes two-thirds of them that
I've
seen there regularly.
Gav, I've been to the Seychelles. I know these islands, right?
Yeah.
On one of those islands, which was a French plantation years ago, so it's really weird. You go to the old haunted plantation house, you think, Christ knows what happened there.
Yeah,
but they have got Gordon, General Gordon of Khartoum's giant tortoise that he's
still alive.
And it's still alive.
Yeah, and they live for ages.
The one that's left there by him on his way to Khartoum where he was killed.
Amazing. Well, Brendan Grimshaw was offered $50 million by a Saudi businessman to turn it into a resort, and he turned it down. It's now a national park.
He said,
"I don't want it to be a vacation spot for the rich." He just
Why?
Said, "I want it," because he wanted it to stay natural. All the tortoises.
It just sounds excellent.
It is visited every day, but you can't have more than 50 people on the island at any time.
They should have a big hotel, extend out into the sea, little landing strip, driving range.
He had his own island, Brendan Grimshaw.
Water skiing, scuba centre.
Cable cars,
everything like that. Aqua park. Thank you, Gav. We salute, what was his name?
Brendan Grimshaw,
Johnny Vaughan 40 or something. We salute you. Radio X. You're right there, Gav.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Mm-hmm. Looks like Sunter and the big man are back from the canteen.
Sunter and the big man.
How was you busy down there?
Yes.
Was it? Because you took your time, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
What do you two talk about down there? Sorry, Big Si, as soon as he's out of the studio, he talks and stuff.
Yeah.
But he goes down with Sunter to get our coffee every day. What do you two talk about down there?
Yeah.
Our plans for this evening.
Oh, yeah?
And what are your plans for this evening?
Going out again,
yep.
Where are you going?
Going to the opening night of the new Stranger Things play.
Wow.
Oh, I was Phoenix invited Theater. To that. I was invited to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know I'm not going?
Why?
Because I've got a life. That's why. Yeah? And do you know what? I'm an adult. I don't watch, like, retro 80s children's stuff. Yeah? I've got big man things to do at home.
Sure.
Yeah? Like this body to work on.
Right.
Yeah?
Sure.
No, I would do. What would I rather do? What? Work on, get some gains, yeah? Or do the opposite at Stranger Things?
Your body is like a job.
It is like a job.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like a vocation.
It's my real job.
Yeah, right.
When people say you've got to get a real job, I go, yeah?
They ask you what you do, you just take your shirt off and that's it. Yeah, yeah.
I just go, I put my hand in the arm wrestle challenge position.
Right.
Do you know, for ages, that used to be my first thing. As soon as I sat down with anyone in a pub or anything, straight away. Like that.
Arm wrestle challenge. Yeah. Yeah.
And then obviously no one wants to do it, but it is still a great way to break the ice at parties.
Sure.
Right.
The amount of parties I go to and no one's talking, you start getting everyone involved in a big arm wrestle mania.
Yeah, everyone gathers round.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there an arm wrestle mania?
A good question, yeah. It's a great question.
Or just the arm wrestle WWE, but just for arm wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's sort of fixed and contrived and
they've got lots of big characters.
Yeah, they've got huge characters. I will break your arm.
I will put your arm through the table.
And then I'll come and find your dad.
You will not put my arm through the table.
Because you see this arm. But you have people there with one ridiculously large arm.
Yeah, right. One massive arm.
One massive arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Good name for a band.
One massive arm.
Yes. Little side, have you ever arm wrestled for money over fire?
Mm. One of his heroes is Rafa Nadal, and he's got one big arm.
He's got one big arm.
Has, yeah.
But have you ever arm wrestled over two flaming candles?
Yeah.
No,
two candles.
No.
Do you want to go for a drink after?
Yeah.
And that's banter, isn't it?
I prefer the one where they tie a couple of scorpions to the table.
Yeah, oh, I love
that's
that.
That's proper arm wrestling.
I like it. I like any of those sort of where it's arm wrestling, but they make it somehow more Viking.
Much yeah.
like
more Viking.
Like they're holding yeah. a double-headed knife. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they're sort of
between,
sort of between their fists. Or something they're gripping on. It's not enough.
Yeah. Just and their hands are bound with rope and jewels and yes. things or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Rope and jewellery over fire.
Leather thongs.
And for some reason, yeah. there's something dripping either side. Like right. Something molten.
It's in a foundry
yes,
for some reason.
In a foundry, yeah.
For some reason.
Smash their hand into a bowl of molten lead.
Literally. It's basically Thor's pub.
Yeah, exactly right. Thor's pub. Great. Again, you go to theme pubs the whole time.
Oh,
but they never
man,
make
there's never any
Thor's
Viking
pub. You literally
pubs.
You go
yeah.
and someone just hits you straight away in the face with a big hammer.
Massive hammer, yeah.
Welcome to Thor's pub. Boom.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio X.
Passengers at St Pancras International treated to an impromptu concert by the American musician Alicia Keys.
Oh yeah. Well, at the piano.
There's a piano that was donated to the station by Sir Elton John.
Right.
In honour of all the piano players who've gone...
Travelled by rail.
In the war. Keys played for about 10 minutes. It's nicer, isn't it?
Yeah. A
little 10 minute...
Was it...
But she
was
changed
it...
the... Wait. She changed the lyrics to, now you're in London.
Okay, yeah.
Concrete jungle, but she didn't change anything else. But I'd have said, red brick jungle where dreams are made of.
Georgian.
The Victorian.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
buses inspire you. Mm. Now you're in London. Kebabs and...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All night news agents, they make him sing.
You want to send her those lyrics because that needs recording.
London.
It needs a bit of work,
it
yeah.
It's a little
yeah.
bit of work.
Crashes
yeah,
out around midnight.
Their bones are there.
Could
bones
you now there, go yeah. home, please? New York, the city
the
that.
The night bus is your friend.
Yeah. New York, the city that never sleeps.
Yep. Yeah.
London. City crashes out around. City where they sort of want you to be on your way home by about 11:30.
Yeah. Midnight exactly. at the
right,
latest.
That's it. Come on, everyone home now.
Yeah.
We're going to make it very hard
over.
For you
go
now.
On. Off you go.
No. Food, where red brick jungle where food stops at night, where the chef turns the fryers off at nine in any decent restaurant.
Yeah.
But so she did that. What I like is that she's surrounded by people who I suspect aren't fans. I've heard she was bloody good, actually. Mm. And she's surrounded by people like that. Yeah, no, it was a bird up there. Sounded a bit like Alicia Keys.
I was going to ask, was it impromptu? Did she literally just walk past?
I said impromptu. I said it's impromptu.
Well, is it? Because I think there's a barrier around her.
Yes. Yeah, right.
She carries her own barrier with her. Very just good. In case she sees a piano.
I bet Cliff
okay,
is gutted.
Okay, I've moved on.
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
And I moved on the moment you said...
Go on.
You ready for this? Another story for you.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
They're calling for emojis for, at the moment, there's only one mushroom emoji. Mushrooms are endangered. They think there should be more.
Okay.
Well, they're underrepresented in the emoji.
One bacterium, one mushroom to represent the microbial and fungal kingdoms. The library of emojis on smartphones does not... represent the true diversity of life on Earth. It needs to be expanded so we can save things.
How are they getting any sleep at night with that issue on their minds?
What I'm sick of at the moment is you know, it used to annoy me when I worked at the BBC, but this sort of three complaints, and
they've got to do something, yeah.
When it's a democracy.
Mm. Yeah.
How can three complaints stop, like, 9 million people might have enjoyed something? Well, not one of my shows.
And
but
didn't
you know what
mind
I mean?
Whatever
didn't
it was it. The complaint
and yet,
about.
No, there's three people who are uncomfortable with that.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to stay with them.
Most people don't, but... What, a couple of people have complained about the emojis?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, let's rethink the whole thing. I mean, you know, I hate it, the fact that when I'm texting friends, there's no weapons on there.
Mm.
Sure.
To send people funny emojis about.
Mm.
I was only looking for a cannon the other day.
No, I was looking for a assault rifle.
Yeah.
You can't go, it's weird.
You won't find one.
Next up, the terms vegan and plant-based put people off. products.
Mm. Right.
Research from the University of Southern California said that eating less meat and dairy is healthy and environmentally sustainable. They said that food labelled as vegan is unpopular.
Mm.
So if you put plant-based or vegan on something, people won't have it. So if you put vegan oranges...
Mm.
It's less popular than just oranges.
Right.
I made that up.
I think,
okay. Yeah. So vegan sausages or plant-based sausages will put people off. So just say sausages and then in small letters at the bottom say no meat included.
Yeah, the gourmet food gift basket without meat and dairy was less likely to be chosen when its label focused on its content, stating vegan or plant-based rather than on its benefits, stating healthy, sustainable both. So if you put healthy whatever...
Sausage. Healthy sausages.
No, because that's a real sausage, isn't it? Because it's good for, good for the brain. It's got feel good.
Sure.
Okay, but that's what they're saying. So people just don't like that word vegan. They don't like it.
The vegan.
Okay. Like vegan, Dr. Sunta Templeton. But they prefer you if it says newsreader.
Yes.
Committed
and I
vegan.
I would too. I don't like to be defined by what I
vegan
eat.
Vegan Sunta Templeton wouldn't be as popular as Dr. Sunta Templeton.
No. Definitely.
Dr. Sunta Templeton, vegan.
Brackets.
Dr. Sunta Templeton, newswoman.
Yep.
83936, which do you prefer? Which would you buy?
Mm.
If she was available in shops.
X. At Honda, we've been listening out for inspiration and discovered something everyone wants in a car. Nothing. So, introducing the Honda HR-V Hybrid. The exterior is very nothing-y, just beautiful, clean lines front to back. And you don't need a key or fob, so there's nothing to forget or lose. You can do everything with your phone. In the back, it's all about nothingness, with its legroom views and seats that can disappear, making way for even more nothingness. The HR-V Hybrid. Nothing to it, really. Where will listening take us next? Honda, the power of dreams.
Radio.
Radio. X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Do you know one thing I hate?
What?
People inviting you to things with loads of... With loads of time in advance.
Oh, yes.
Like saying, what are you doing next October?
Yeah, right. On the 4th of October next year.
I'll probably
be
thinking of ways to get out of whatever you're going to invite me to now, is the answer.
Which you're trying to nail me down to by giving me so much notice.
So rude. It's just so rude. Say something really, especially if it's a real prime time weekend, like June.
Yeah.
What are you doing last weekend in June? You're thinking... Okay, I don't know. It could be something excellent.
If it's sunny.
It could be something a lot more than anything you're going to ask me about now.
You might have to turn down the party of the year
right.
to be at this really boring dinner.
And then you'll have to do that thing. And also, it might be someone you don't know as well as the person that's inviting you, but they're richer.
Right.
And it's going to be a damn sight better party.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And if it's sunny as well, that could change your plans.
Oh, God, this could be a real test, this one. Because I really want a good party, but I've been to yours before and they're not good. And this, no, it's, I think 4 months max. No, 3 months maximum notice on things by law.
Quarterly. Yeah. A quarterly limit.
A quarterly limit.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
And I think that works for weddings as well and things like that.
Yeah,
you don't
definitely.
Need a whole year. I mean, you don't need to save the date.
Well, do you know what that question deserves?
No, sometimes
as an
hang on wait a second. Sometimes for weddings, because people have them for flights and things.
Yeah,
it's abroad.
That's fair enough.
But
that,
for me, more annoying.
Yeah.
We are getting married next...
In Australia.
You're thinking, oh, God.
How do I answer that?
Oh, Christ.
I think the answer to give when someone does that is just to say, I'm really busy that
I'm
day.
I'm just so busy.
I'm definitely doing something that day.
Get this. Yeah, rings a bell.
Yeah, let me check
Did
my...
Did you
let
say
me check
November
my...
the 10th?
Was that the 10th?
Because that rings a bell. what a coincidence, you say.
Sure
it's literally the only thing in my diary.
The only thing in my diary. Get this, an invitation... I've got a funeral then.
Yeah, right. What?
An invitation to dinner lands in your inbox.
Hmm.
But you have been hoping to have a relaxing night at home.
Yeah.
Is it best to go along to avoid causing offence, or is it okay to be honest and politely decline? Mm. Scientists have found... Never trust scientists. Because anyway, scientists, like a lot of people doing research, and eggheads, and tech people that are creating the world, they don't like going out.
No, they
want to, think the whole world just wants to... The people who are inventing the world now think everyone just wants to sit in front of a computer.
Mm. Right.
That's it. Mm. And everything else is a sort of inconvenience.
Sure.
They just think, well, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to get your food, standard, not go out and try clothes on, not go out to restaurants, not see anyone.
Yeah, just carry on with your task. Yeah.
Just Zoom. The only conference will be Zoom, and it'll be the antisocial world you live in.
Yeah, yeah.
So scientists have found out that it's fine to be honest, also lack of social skills. When faced with an invitation you do not feel like accepting, even if it's from a partner or close friend. An invitation from a partner?
What?
What?
But, I mean, you live together.
Yes.
You're going to be there.
Don't you just have a discussion?
I can't make it, darling.
Partner, I will not be able to make it. I have something to do at home.
A very pressing matter attend to.
The thing is, if you don't want to go to things, you can either play cancel chicken, which can be a real winner, that.
Right.
Or you're just thinking... Just hanging in there thinking, I know they're going to cancel me.
They might cancel you.
The trouble is you want to say to people, let's do that, let's meet up, let's have dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you both do that.
Sure.
But you actually don't want the dinner. You just want to sort of say,
sentiment.
Look, we're still friends.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
we would do, but come on, we can't be arsed, really.
Yeah.
Aren't we too old for that?
The fact we're making the effort just to plan it is enough.
Yes, yes. But sometimes, a bit like going to the gym, one of those things you think, oh, I can't be arsed. But you get there and have a great time.
You're glad you've
gone.
You're
really glad you've gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason you're glad you've gone, one word, alcohol.
Yes.
Yes.
It's because...
That is the fixer.
That's why it is the legal one in this country, because it's done off paper over the cracks.
Sure. Well, it's tradition, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. It's been going on since the Bible.
It's the reason. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's the meat of that sandwich, even though it's the liquid.
The
drink in the sandwich. It really is eat, drink, and be merry.
Mm.
You know, it's in the Bible 5 times. A man hath no greater pleasure, or woman, under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. Do you know what I think, though?
What?
Never, if you are going to make excuses, my first thing is, go. Don't cancel.
Yeah.
It's so much simpler
just to go. Yeah.
So that's been a real motto of mine this year.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah, you don't have to remember excuses.
Vanessa says sometimes she gets herself in such a world of excuses when she's lying. Mm. She said twice this year she's had out of body experiences. No, while she's lying.
She's beside herself, literally.
Yeah. She looked down on herself lying and panicked. Oh, this is the point, man. Yeah? Always go if you can, yeah? If you can't face it, don't offer an excuse.
No.
Just say, I can't come.
Yeah.
People are like, that's it.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I can't come to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah.
So sorry. But don't let them get you into phase 2.
Mm.
Which is the excuse and why and all that, yeah.
Well, why?
Mm. Yeah.
None of your business.
It's no one's business why you can't go.
That's a good point, yeah.
You've got to come up with something that's better than that, then you've got to prioritise. And then you get that thing, if I say someone's ill, you know, like
you've got to remember
child
the lie
partner.
And all that,
no, but that might mean karma. What if they get ill because I've said that? You start getting all sorts of weird
God,
things.
Oh, God, it's a minefield.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you try not to cancel, but if you do, don't offer any excuses. TJ Law.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, a while ago on the show, the 4-7 thing, I'm Johnny Vaughan, we suggested that to get through operations on the NHS, they should literally do operations factories for specific things.
Yeah.
Like hip replacements, knee replacements.
Yeah, right. Specialists.
Specialists.
And you know, like you get exhaust places.
Right, yeah.
For cars.
Like Quick Fit, exactly.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Or just, you know, the Ford plant gaff, where they just
absolutely,
make mass
yeah.
production and that person does that bit of the operation.
Yeah.
You know what? We suggested it, how they laughed. They're doing it.
Who's doing it?
Well, they've done a week's worth of surgery in a day.
How?
Surgeons at a London hospital are performing an entire week's worth of operation in a single day as part of a groundbreaking initiative that could cut NHS waiting lists.
Wow.
Guy's and St Thomas's, where ironically my mother was a nurse and her dad was the head of head anaesthetist.
Right.
So ironic, at Guy's Hospital.
Wow.
And also where I had my wisdom teeth out, but that's not such a groundbreaking thing.
Is that the guy that does the Isle of Man TT races?
No.
It's not his hospital.
No,
okay,
no, that's Noble's hospital. That's the Isle of Man.
Oh,
okay, my grandfather
go on,
also worked. But this was just after the war. Anyway, Geisel St Thomas's NHS Foundation Trust has already slashed its own elective backlog in certain specialities by running monthly high intensity lists at weekends.
Right.
So they come in, two operating theatres run side by side. As soon as one procedure is finished, the next patient is already in the next one and they just step across. Boom.
Keep going. Yeah. Production line.
Yes.
Wow. I like that.
Nurses on standby to sterilise the operator. The only problem is, you've got to delay by 30 seconds to disinfect the whole place.
Of course.
Right.
That's how long it takes for those things to kick in. What I'm interested in is all those people who said that masks don't do anything.
Yeah.
They should elect to have that in their operations.
Definitely. No masks in their operations.
No, I don't want any of these surgeons to have
they
masks.
They don't work.
Any of them. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you.
No, I don't believe in any of the masks. They can come in not wearing any PPE at all.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe...
No gloves.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because you can still smell fart. So how effective are they?
So are these operations, is it just all appendixes, say, for example, for a day? Is it just them going, appendix?
These were all heart transplants. No, these were all heart transplants.
Ow.
They did each one in half an hour.
Nice.
I'm obviously joking. You cretins.
Boom.
Sorry, I shouldn't use that word.
Go on.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, weird headline. Another thing that's a coincidence, because variety is the spice of life for lethargic carnivores in captivity. They've got a real problem with tigers and lions and things in captivity that they just get bored in there without, because what they want to do is hunt and kill.
Yeah, sure.
That's what really gives them a buzz.
And fight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've started spicing up things. Now, at the weekend, I went round London Zoo and I was really surprised to see these two tigers really attacking a bit of cabbage.
Oh, yeah?
And I discovered it had been sprayed with something exciting.
Well, like tiger nip.
What? I don't know. But I'd love it if they started doing it in curry houses. It would make for a very interesting Sunday lunch if they started doing the same thing. And you just suddenly see a diner just tearing at a Yorkshire pudding, fighting. I mean, they do, and I know in Newcastle particularly.
They get very excited.
Particularly in pizza houses.
Sure.
But how much more exciting, you know, when they have these breakthroughs, why just stick to animals?
Right.
You know, I like a bit of meat as well.
Sure.
You know, I sometimes get bored with the same old Thursday night curry. I'd spice it up.
I'd love a bit of excitement around my cabbage.
Right.
Yeah.
Be great.
People in the world, spice up your life.
Okay.
I've got a recording of that.
Oh, yeah.
From the actual sound desk.
The sound that was going into
the desk,
not the one that was coming out.
I wouldn't play it out even now because it would just be humiliating for them. I'm not kidding either. Humiliating. And also, I haven't got a tape deck.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like the worst, I'd say a really, really, really drunk hen night.
Right.
And they're screaming out the top of a pink stretch limo. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Yeah, you're going to get that. Mm. And last up, ladies and gentlemen, this is interesting. Well, you'll be the judge of whether it's interesting or not. They have found a huge sea monster's skull in Dorset. This thing is the fossilised skull of a huge marine reptile extracted from cliffs in southern England, has been described as one of the most complete ever. It is 2 metres long. It belongs to a pliosaur, the apex predator, terrorised oceans about 150 million years ago. They have large heads, short necks and tear-shaped bodies. They're about 12 metres long. This thing is the most horrendous skull I've ever seen.
I've seen that skull. It looks horrifying.
I've seen that skull, John.
2 metres just for the skull.
And my wife is angry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, but Gavin, it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. It's huge. It makes a crocodile look like what?
Like nothing.
Like a Pekingese.
I know, mate. A salty's still a salty. Yeah. But this is... Do have a look at it.
Yeah.
The very thought that things like that were lurking on this cursed earth a while ago.
Snap your in half.
Should give us all reasons for Christmas cheer.
Shouldn't it?
Especially when bathing.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Gav, your flies are undone.
Oh, God, look at that. Radio X.
The world needs more Santas. This Christmas, Coca-Cola is helping people discover their inner Santa through little acts of kindness. When the tube is packed like your Christmas dinner table, Why not offer up your seat to the person standing? Take the quiz on the mobile Coke app to discover your inner Santa today. Coca-Cola, real magic.
Okay, team, let's pull this deck together.
Yes, please. I'm 20 minutes from the client.
Will, where's the strategy slide?
In the chat now.
Okay, Charlie, presentation on its way.
Yeah, got it. Wish me luck.
Hoo-hoo, we can all relax now.
Speak for yourself, Will.
Work together anywhere. Get more from Microsoft Teams with BT, powered by EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business. Best for network performance, visit ee.co.uk/claims for more details. Restrictions and terms apply.